John. If my dad, my partner, my dad, Mark, we are John Chris Socks.
And what's our mission about?
Our mission is to bring happiness.
We've got a mission to spread happiness. And every day we work to show what people with different abilities can do, right?
Right.
So you have Down syndrome, right?
I do. I have Down syndrome. Down syndrome never holds me back.
No, it doesn't. So that's our mission. And you might guess, what do we sell?
Socks.
Socks. But it's really, the socks are the physical manifestation of the happiness we're trying to spread, right?
Absolutely.
So Jody, we're really excited to be here.
Oh my God. I love seeing you guys. So hi, Mark. Hi, John. So I just want to know, we're going to start at the beginning. So who are you guys? Where are you from? How did this company and idea start?
Well, where are we, John?
We are John Grant Socks.
But where are we? We're on Long Island in New York, right? And our story, it's good you asked that because origin stories matter. They give you the DNA. I don't care if you're 100 years old as a business and few ever reach that point, but your DNA stays with you. So for us, it's really important. It starts in a small log cabin in the woods.
Fall back 2016.
Fall of 2016.
I was in school. I was in JMS in school. I went to Hudson High School and I spent my time in business and tech program.
So John was at the local high school, Huntington High School. And if you have a disability in the U.S., you can stay in the school system until you turn 21. So John was going to be turning 21 that February. In June, they were going to say, get the hell out. You've been here long enough.
Right.
He was trying to figure out, what am I going to do? What were you looking at?
I think he asked after that, I looked for a job program and school. I don't know the answer I don't like.
He didn't say anything he liked. And this is a real issue. We do a very good job, or you could say a good job, of educating people with different abilities. We're making sure they're healthy. And then they reach what's sometimes known as that 21-year-old cliff. Yep. And there's nothing there, and go. John, though, is a natural entrepreneur.
Yes.
He saw, instead of a problem, he saw an opportunity. So what do you tell me, buddy?
I want to go to interview with my dad.
Comes and says, I want to go into business with you, Dad, which is wonderful, right? And so now we got to figure out, what are we going to do? What was your first idea?
A fun store.
A fun store. I have no idea what a fun store is. And John couldn't figure it out either.
I don't know what a fun store is neither. So now I'm curious.
It may be that's what we've gone and done, but what was your next idea?
A food truck. I got an idea from the movie Chef and John Favreau.
So a food truck, that could be fun. But we ran into a problem.
We can't cook.
Yeah. But then John had his eureka moment.
I did. I want to start creating socks. Our socks is fun and colorful. I love to be creative. And always let me be me. I want crazy socks my entire life.
And he did. We used to drive around looking for crazy socks for John to wear. So that's a good start. If there's something you love, chances are other people are going to love it too, right? You can find your tribe. So at that point, we said, let's go try this. Instead of preparing a detailed business plan, you know, do your market research, your competitive analysis, your operations, and your financial projections, we went the lean startup route. We said, let's get a website up. Let's buy some inventory. The only marketing we did was to set up a Facebook page. We were bootstrapped, and I took my cell phone. We made some videos, and who was in the video?
I am. I talk about socks.
Socks, right? And we're going to test the idea. We'll find out. If people like it, they'll buy. So what day did we open?
We opened on Friday, December 9th, 2016.
And we were very pleasantly surprised. We got 42 orders the first day, right? And most of them were local. Mm-hmm. So what did we do with those first orders?
Home deliveries.
Home deliveries. So we got red boxes, just like this. Just like that. We got red boxes. We put the socks in the box. Lots of socks, right? And then we looked at it and said, needs something else, right?
Yes, Dad.
So what else did we put in it?
We put, digging new arrow. I put candy.
We got Hershey's Kisses. Loaded it up with Hershey's Kisses. Loaded up the car.
Yep.
Drove around. John knocking on doors.
Yep.
There'd be times it's 10 o'clock at night. John is knocking on doors.
And luckily we do have a shotgun.
Right. No shotguns out there. But the customers loved it. What'd they do?
Customers loved it. They put it on social media, like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
They're taking pictures.
I take pictures, and I guess spread.
Word was spreading. We had whole families waiting for John to show up at their door. We had people reordering just so John would come back to their house. It was great. So we learned a few things. One, people want to buy socks.
Two, I can buy socks to me and it relates to me.
They related to John.
And they like the fact of 5% to the earning to Special Olympics.
They like the give back that we started by saying we're going to give 5% to the Special Olympics.
Yep.
They like the personal touch. And we learned something because we heard from people that saw John as an inspiration, that this young man with Down syndrome could go start his own business. So that's how we got started. What we've gone on to do is to create a social enterprise where we have both a social mission and a business mission.
Yes.
And they're indivisible. You can't separate one from the other. Jody, if all we're doing was selling socks, you wouldn't be talking to us. We have now done the market research. There are exactly 1 gazillion sock companies out there. But we're doing something else. We're connecting with people. We're sharing experience. And we're delivering great socks to them, right? So we built the business on 4 pillars. Inspiration and hope.
Give it back. Socks you can love. Make it personal.
Right? So to this day, every package gets a thank you note and candy from John, right? You want to show it?
Yeah.
There's the thank you note.
Thank you note.
And the candy?
Yep. Skittles.
Right? So
we love Skittles.
Here's one of those entrepreneurial lessons. We started with Hershey's Kisses. It was great. Mm. He'd opened the package. He could smell the chocolate. Everybody loved it.
But
until we got the email from the woman in Florida saying, you may not want to send chocolate to the South, you know, it's so now it's Skittles. But we do that. We're competing every day with Target and Walmart and Amazon. Yeah. So we have to outdo them. We have to have a great selection.
Yeah.
How many different socks do we have?
We had 2,300 different kinds of socks.
Wait, what?
2,300 different styles, which, now we're not outselling Walmart, but that makes John the owner of the world's largest socks.
Right, because I'm a better than a Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos never put digging in candy. I do.
Right? We do same day shipping. So if an order comes in by 3 o'clock today, it's going out. Right? We do better shipping than Amazon. And we do it because of the workforce we have, because we hire people with different abilities, right? So, you know, we have a sock of the month club, we have gift bags, we now do subscription, we do greeting cards designed by?
By me, and for doing a different ability.
People with different abilities. We now have face masks, and that leads to the next pillar, which is giving back.
Wait, Mark, I'm going to slow it down for a little bit. There's so much to your story that I have to ask a lot more. I'm going to start with John. John, why did you feel that you wanted to give back to your community of individuals that have disabilities.
Why do we give back?
Why give back? Because we give a percentage.
Well, that's what we do. We give to the Special Olympics.
I give to the Olympics something that,
Well, it's all right. It's really simple, Jody. It's not enough just to sell stuff. You got to connect. You got to give back. And we're incredibly fortunate.
Right. And 50 really good businesses.
So if we're, you know, we started with the Special Olympics. We now make a whole series of products that are designed to celebrate people,
right,
to raise awareness and raise money. So the first example of that is we made the world's first Down syndrome awareness sock. And I shouldn't say we, John did, right?
Yeah.
Here's another entrepreneurial moment. It's January of 2017.
Right.
We're learning firsthand. People don't buy a lot in January. They spent all their money at Christmas.
Yep.
We're looking, at that point, we're only selling other people's socks. And that's when we learned that people celebrate World Down Syndrome Day by wearing crazy socks.
Yep.
You would have thought we knew that ahead of time, but we're not that smart.
I knew that because I have friends that taught me that. I knew that.
Right? Well, so we go looking for one to sell, and we can't find one.
Uh-huh. I said I want to make one. I want to create one.
So John designed.
I designed
the first one. So it's three.
I love it. Oh, we love it. This is awesome.
And so we make these to celebrate people with Down syndrome. It's what we do, right? It's don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Stand out. Celebrate who you are. And to do that, we have to give back. So we called up the National Down Syndrome Society.
And our local group, AACDS.
Association for Children with Down Syndrome. We said, look, we're going to sell these socks and we're going to give you money. And they said, who are you?
We've never heard of you before.
Right? But we've heard the story from Mike Smith, who runs ACDS. He says, you know, that's where we started. But a month later, I got a $3,500 check, and John was my new best friend. You know, but that's so there's a lot that we do to give back. We've adjusted with the virus. We created healthcare superhero socks that raise money for frontline healthcare workers.
Yep.
So we've already raised over $25,000 for the coronavirus relief funds at the American Nurses Association and a local hospital, Good Samaritan Hospital. We're selling masks, and those raise money for those same coronavirus relief foundations. You know, we have other things like our autism awareness socks, and we get to go have fun, right? So the giving back is there, but really at the heart is showing what's possible, is showing what people with different abilities can do. We have 23 employees. Mm-hmm. 19 of whom have a different ability.
Yep.
Over the holidays, we'll have 70 employees. And it's not enough just to hire, we want to show.
Yep.
So we take our process and turn it into content. We share, you know, I like to say, no broccoli. Nothing your mother says, this is good for you, you have to watch this.
Hey, broccoli is good for you. What do you mean?
But you got to be fun. You got to like it. So it's dancing, you know, John's dance videos. And then we turn that into John now on Tuesday afternoon host an online dance party. And it's wonderful to see 100 people dancing on Zoom all at the same time.
Yeah.
Right? It's we do tours here.
Uh-huh.
So we get people from area high schools, social service groups. We've moved those online, and that opens up the world. So we've given tours for classes in Kansas and California and Michigan, visitors from Australia, Scotland, France, Argentina, all coming to check us out. We do speaking engagements. So we've been, prior to the virus, across Canada, the U.S., Mexico. We're part of the State Department Speakers Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
We do advocacy work.
Yes.
So we've testified twice before Congress, right? John goes out and speaks to power, and they listen. right? And we've spoken at the United Nations, all to show, look what people can do, and to stand up for the rights of people. So, what fun we get to have.
But look, so now, like, it's very curious about how the company started, but more so, it's a family business. So everyone knows the pros and cons of having a family business. You guys are with each other all the time. So what are the pros and what are the cons of having a family business and being together all the time? When I met you guys, you were traveling from New York to Boston, back and forth, back and forth, back. I mean, you were in the car, like there's times that you would come in and go back on the same day. So talk to me and talk to anyone that's listening about owning a family business.
So we can share our experience. Mm-hmm. I've got three sons. So when John says to me, let's go into business together, part of my thinking is, well, this is a son I could work with. In fact, my middle son, his older brother, worked with us for a while. That wasn't working out. It's hard. It can be hard to be around all the time, and there can be baggage. You know, I smile. John and I do a lot, and we hear comments about what a great dad I must be. And I'm like, well, you want to talk to my two older boys and get a dissenting opinion? You know, we're human. So it can be challenging. I think John and I works because we've spent so much time together and we both know we need each other. I couldn't do this business without John. He's the guy that makes it go, right?
Right. As you can too, I never work with my dad because he is a wonderful human being.
This is going to cost me a lot of money now. But during the day, we're not always together because John's got his own portfolio of work he's got to do, and he goes and does it. I'll share an anecdote with you about something like that with John, tell you something about his character. So it was about a year ago, and we were attending and helping contribute at a social event for the Special Olympics in Manhattan. And we left that. We got home to Long Island about 2:30 in the morning. John was wiped out. And I said, all right, tomorrow, take the day off. Just sleep in. Take the day off. Relax. Mm-hmm. Okay. I get up. I come down here. About 11 o'clock that morning, John comes walking in the office. So what are you doing? She says, I took an Uber to the office. I got things to do. And it's like, okay. You know, he was 23 at the time. And I'm thinking, how many 23-year-olds have the day off and say, no, I got things to do. I got to go do. That's what you do as an owner, right?
My dad.
You know? So we're trying to spread this. We're trying to show the advantages and benefits of hiring people with different abilities. We want other businesses to see that. We have now formed.
Wait, but I'm going to ask, I'm going to just chime in for a quick second. In all thoughts, I mean, people, CEOs, founders, they want to. I want to hire individuals that have disabilities. I want to hire vets. I want to hire minorities. I want to. And then they don't follow up, or they have fears, or they don't know how to work. They don't know how to work well with others. I don't know how to train them. I don't know how to make sure they succeed. So when you have all the noise that is out there in regards of how we want to, but how do we, what would be the advice that you'd give to any company that should, they want to, but well, they fear?
I'll share a couple of things. First of all, just do it. Stop talking, just do it. We have no special training. You know, as we say, we're just a couple knuckleheads selling socks.
Right.
Right? We have no special training. We have no special programs. We have no funding from the government. We don't give jobs to anybody. We hire people because they can do the job. So in our experience, we do our own fulfillment. We run a pick and pack warehouse. Very variable. Turns out people don't wear socks in the summer. We'd like to change that. And they buy like crazy at winter, at the holiday time. So we generally pull from three pools of labor. People with different abilities. Moms. There are some dads in there who, because we'll hire part-time, they want to put the kid on the bus in the morning, pick the kid up in the afternoon. And general laborers. Okay, we start at $13 an hour. We quickly move people to $15 an hour to start. Out of that pool, by far the best labor pool are the people with different abilities. They show up on time. They care. They want to be here. They want to do a good job. I've sat on panels, one particular Fortune 500 company, multiple times, and listen to them tell me, oh, we're sinking resources into HR and operations and planning, and we're doing all this, and we have hired one summer intern. If we can hire 19 people, guess what they can do? And here's the thing. It's not altruism. We have a unified workplace, and you would think the benefits accrue to the people with different abilities. No, everybody benefits. Productivity is up, morale is up, retention is through the roof, and it helps us with recruiting. But I'll give you another example. Microsoft. So Microsoft is competing fiercely for programmers and technical people. And they realize many people on the autism spectrum are great programmers, but they weren't hiring anybody in the autism spectrum. Then they recognized that wasn't the job applicant's problem. That was their problem. Yeah. And I could tell you, you're not hiring people in the autism spectrum because they can't get through the interview process. They don't look you in the eye. They may fidget. So Microsoft says, we got to change. So they change. They now hire many, many people in the autism spectrum. And that gives them a competitive advantage. Mm-hmm. Now, I recognize things have changed now with the virus. But in 2018... when we do $2 million in sales in the last month and a half, yes, and other businesses are leaving money on the table because they can't find enough employees, we were able to staff up, get over 70 people, simply because we tapped into an available resource.
Yeah.
So that's my answer. My answer is, it's not as hard as you think, and you're losing out. Anytime you artificially restrict your workforce and the pool you come from, you're losing out. The analogy I'd make is a good old American analogy that's relevant today. Jackie Robinson in baseball. Mm-hmm. So the Brooklyn Dodgers signed Jackie Robinson in 1947. The teams that immediately followed were the Cleveland Indians and the San Francisco Giants. Guess what? They became the best teams in baseball. The Red Sox were the last team, and they floundered.
Boston, I know the story well.
It's not altruism. Yeah. It's good business. Yeah. That's the thing. And let me tell you something. I mean, I can share just so many experiences. We are so incredibly fortunate. And I'll share one. I'll tell you about Thomas. Thomas's mom starts calling up, I guess it must have been October of 2017, saying, I see who you're hiring. My son has autism. You got to hire him. Well, we're not hiring now, but we'll let you know when we are. And then she tells me, then she calls every day. I said, all right, tell me about Thomas. Well, Thomas is in a bad way. He's very depressed. We have trouble getting him to come out of his room. He doesn't want to shower or shave. Hasn't spoken to his father in over 6 months. Mm-hmm. And we can't get him to join any programs. Well, it sounds like a great employee. We had an opening. Bring him out. Now, to get a job here, our entry-level job is a picker in our pick-and-pack warehouse. What do we call that job?
A sock wrangler.
Sock wranglers. You got to pass the sock wrangler test. We give you free training. It's actually, you're trained by our current sock wranglers. You've trained many people.
Yes.
Thomas passes this test like he was born to be a sock wrangler. Today, Thomas is showered and shaved and waiting for his father to drive him an hour to work. We did nothing. We have no special training, no powers. All we did was give that young man an opportunity to perform, and he does great work, and it changes his life. That's what's possible. It's awesome.
I love you guys. So earlier you said that the reason why I had you on was because you sell socks and or your business. I'm like, no, that's not the reason. One, because I've met you. I mean, you were in Boston. You're a part of an organization that's like so true to my heart, Mass Challenge.
You love Mass Challenge, right?
Yes.
but the more so because I've kept in touch with you throughout the years, and I've been watching you, and you guys always are making me smile in what you're doing and how you're doing it. I love how you have formed this amazing partnership and how you're continuing to grow this company in such a great way. I love your socks. The socks are not just socks. They're fun. They're fun. They're funny. They're things that you wouldn't expect to see. And you go into New York and you're in Manhattan and everyone's buttoned up and they have their suits, but the personality part comes in their socks. That's when you're in financial or when you're on the, well, any major traditional place, people are wearing their suits. They're wearing their, like, you know, their khaki pants and their like traditional blue shirt. And they're like, where can I be different? My socks. Each and every single time. And your socks are not just the typical ones that you would see at a department store. They really do bring out the personality and the traits of what people are doing globally. And that's what engaged me was the socks, that they were so different. Because I love giving, for presents, for men especially, I love giving socks and ties. Those are the presents that I love, love, love to give. And to open up the box and to see all the socks are just great. But just like watching the two of you guys, you've gone through so much in regards to growing this business. You've dedicated so much time and you're growing. And it's the understanding where we didn't know what we're going to do. We decided to grow this business together and you're learning every single step of the way. Because it's not like you woke up this morning and said, hey, I'm going to start a business. And you knew the finance, the marketing, the hiring. You didn't know all these things. You're learning this together and you're showing the world that it's possible to grow a business. So the question for me with all of that is, during the pandemic, people are home. They have a job. They're not happy. They're not passionate. They're not having fun. They're home and they're thinking, is this the time that I start something and where do I start? So what advice would you give to someone that is looking to start a business right now during this pandemic?
During the pandemic, before or after, everybody has ideas. Oh, we ought to sell this. We ought to do that. And then you come up with all the reasons why it won't work or you can't do it. Mm-hmm. It sounds trite. Just go and do it. You do by learning. You take a chance. We've been very fortunate. I'm not telling you if you go and start a business tomorrow, that you'll be like us and in a year be doing over $1 million in business. But you're not going to know until you do it. And then you have to learn every day. Every day you have to keep figuring out, how do we do this better? For us, and I think the way to do it is you have to know your mission. You know, it's Simon Sinek referring to knowing your why. You have to know why you do this. And it has to be a reason other than we want to make money.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. John and I, we like to live indoors. So you got to have money to pay the rent, right? And you have to know what your values are. Because those values are what are going to steer you and keep you going. They're going to let you know, between your mission and your values, how to decide on things, right? And then you just look to make that happen every day. That's not going to guarantee you success, but it's going to put you in a position where you can succeed. Right? If you're sitting around and thinking about it, you're going to wake up one day and be an old man like me and look back and say, oh, I could have done it. Don't let that happen. This is pretty straightforward. If John can do it, why can't you do it?
Right. And I want to jump out of that too. My advice to all the people are doing a pandemic, I would say, follow your dream and follow your hearts. Show you can do. Work hard. Figure this out. Figure this out and make it possible.
And part of it, you know, I'm not saying we're experts, but we can share the experience. Look to connect with your tribe. Look to connect with the people that care about what you care about. Right? So what's our core audience? Well, we're connecting with the Down syndrome community, with people around that. But by building that bond, then we're able to connect with others and grow and do more. If you run to say, what can we do that's going to appeal to everybody? You appeal to nobody. Right? Some of the feedback we get, oh, you're so authentic.
Hear that all the time. You know, I think that's one of those words that I cannot stand, where I'm like, you're so refreshing. You're so authentic. I'm like, really?
Well, great. So all that tells, you know, this is so, which is who we are, right? Yeah. And John here has no guile, and I'm too old to care. This is just us, and it's how we're going to go and do things. We've been very fortunate. We've received a lot of press coverage, and a lot of it has come on the Fox Network. We've appeared on Fox and Friends 6 times, on the Martha McCallum Show multiple times. Not surprisingly, a large portion of audience politically is conservative. We have family values where there are some basic things we share, and of course they'll connect to that. So now we have a moment of crisis and of conscience around the death of George Floyd. And there are some things we did. And there are some things we're continuing to do. And, you know, internal conversation. Oh, you know, we have to watch. We don't want to offend people. The hell with that. You have to be who you are. Right? So, you know, it's a small thing. Juneteenth comes up. We didn't have that as a holiday before. We closed this year. And we said we're doing it because this is personal to us. We are an organization built on diversity and celebrating people. And we had to look at ourselves and say, there are some areas we're not doing a good job in. And we have to recognize this, and we're changing our recruiting policies, and we're taking different steps. And I share that because we're flawed. But that's part of the package. Yeah. That's part of who we are. And that connects us with people. And when you have that connection, when you're open and vulnerable and true to just who you are, we're not building a customer base, we're building a community. And that connection will ride through pandemics and ups and downs. And you know, you see it for the long haul. So I'll give you a more comical version. When it comes to picking products we're going to sell, mm-hmm. they got to do 3 things. They got to be fun.
Yep.
They got to spread happiness.
Mm-hmm. I'll be excited.
John's got to be excited and be behind it. So last year, one of our colleagues ordered socks that said, "Yo, bitch." Now, ooh. I can tell you, those socks will sell. And I see them being sold by competitors. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to sell those socks. We're not going to make, I don't care about the money.
Yeah.
That's, and don't get me wrong. Of course we care about the money. But it's the long haul.
You have to.
If you have to know who you are. So this whole thing about be authentic.
Yeah.
Just come out. You know, And we learned that a lot from our colleagues. They don't always act like everybody else. We are the Isle of Misfit Toys. And after a while, you realize we all have differing abilities. You know, John, we don't ask John to do our financial analysis. He's not keeping the books. But there are things that John does that I can't do in a million years. Right? Play to our strengths.
Yep.
Just be who you are. Make that connection with people. And so we get asked, you know, I'm sure you get asked this. What's the one key thing? I don't know. But part of it
every, is... Every day is a key thing.
You have to believe.
Yeah.
You have to believe. Here's our mission. Here's our values. You have to believe. You have to be willing to learn it, to live by it. You have to be willing to admit your mistakes. Mm-hmm. If you focus on the mission, the petty stuff falls away. You don't care about the inconsequential things, and the ego and the vanity falls away. It's not about how do I look. It's about are we getting to the mission, right? So what do I know? We sell socks. Socks.
Well, my question, my last question for you guys is if you, well, I have another one before the last one. There's so much that we are designing for when the doors open. People are just like, okay, getting ready. And then you see some states are pulling back and saying, oh, we're moving too fast. What did the pandemic do for the company, and how are you preparing for when the doors open?
Well, we've been fortunate because in the eyes of the state of New York, they considered us an essential business. Mm-hmm. So we've been able to stay open. Though for some of the time, it was truly a family business. It was my wife, John, and myself. It's cost us dearly. March 21st, World Down Syndrome Day. That's a big day for us.
Yeah.
We had 6 events planned. We had 2 national television appearances planned. Yeah. We probably lost $150,000 to $200,000 that weekend because everything was wiped out. What we have done is we've adjusted. We called our workforce back in at the end of April. We're rigorous about our safety plan. So we've built that in, you know, with screening, we're wearing masks, we're fanatical about washing hands, mm-hmm. keep the social distancing, everybody's been safe since. We changed things, so the online tour, the tours are now online tours. We introduced the dance party. 3 nights a week, John and I do a Spreading Happiness show on Facebook Live. We can get 40,000 people watching it. I don't know what they're doing with their lives. It's just us telling jokes, telling stories, right? We turn around and we put out the healthcare superhero socks. We put out, we're doing masks. So you have to keep adapting. You can't stop and not do anything. You have to look on it. Here's an opportunity. If I was closed, it would be, well, what, how? This is an opportunity to assess the business. You're always saying, well, we're too busy. Well, now you're not. Stop, think about it. How does it alter what you can do? What opportunities does it create? And we keep trying to connect with our community. That's what we're doing.
I love it. All right, so my last question for both of you, if you had a personal ask and a professional ask, what would you say to anyone that's watching us today, your personal and your professional?
Well, the personal, let's look at what people can do, not what they can't do. Let's look for our similarities. I'll share it with an anecdote. In 07 and 08, I organized the Obama campaign on Long Island. We started in the summer of 07 when most people had never even heard of the junior senator from Illinois. After that was over, we organized a local campaign to try to change our town charter. And we had this very odd coalition of Tea Party people and Obama progressives. We'd have meetings at our house. We had a big house, big old rambling house. We'd get 30, 40 people in there. These were folks who literally stood on opposite street corners the year before, screaming at each other. Mm-hmm. And here they were, breaking bread and talking and working towards a common goal. Mm-hmm. It's Pollyanna-ish, but it's real. Just have that conversation. Just listen. See the commonalities. And professionally, we're about promoting entrepreneurism, promoting what people can do. Mm-hmm. We've just started an organization called Entrepreneurs with Abilities, which is bringing together entrepreneurs who have a differing ability, who own a business or lead a business, or businesses who focus on hiring people with different abilities. Yeah. So we can share, we can network and share resources and support each other, you know, be there to celebrate, be there to have somebody that can cry on a shoulder. Because 80% of people with disabilities are unemployed today. And it's a great untapped natural resource. Go and tap into it. Yeah. Plus, what else can people do? What are we going to sell?
I'm going to sell at socksandsocks.com.
Sell some socks.
Socks.
Right? You buy socks from us. You're helping us hire people with different abilities. You're helping us give back. And you're not just getting socks.
You get a
package from us. Here's what you get. You open it up. You get your socks. You get a thank you note from John. You get the story.
And the most important thing, wait, what? You get?
Skittles. You get candy. You're going to see stickers with the names and the pictures of the people that packed your order. You're going to know the contributions you're making. That's not just socks. You're getting this package of happiness. It's awesome.
I have to say thank you so very much to both of you. John, thank you very much. I mean, thank you for the idea. Thank you for being creative. Thank you for going to Congress and speaking on behalf of everyone that deserves to be at the table. Thank you so very much for loving your dad so much and like making sure that he's a good businessman. Because if it wasn't for you, John, he wouldn't be around. So thank
you. No, it wouldn't. You know, John's teaching me to be a nice guy.
I love it. And Mark, thank you so very much because, I mean, honestly, you had a job, you were doing other things. And just to dedicate more time with your son to make sure that everyone understands, bring family together and make sure that any dreams, all passions, and just knowing that we're not just refreshing, we're not just unique, but we are making sure that we're changing the world. So thank you so very much for what both of you guys do.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.